Joe.
Chris.
Did you miss me?
I mean, I saw you in the office all
no,
the time.
No. This is our first fantasy basketball podcast in over a year.
Oh, right.
So, and we haven't spoken since.
Yeah.
So, this is a big moment.
Totally don't sit three desks away
from me. Nope. This is the first time we've spoken. This is the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am Chris Towers. That is Joe Polito. And
hi, everyone.
I hope you've listened to us before. If you have, welcome back. If not, you're welcome as well. This is the first episode that we're doing. We are going to be bringing you through the basketball season. Once the season starts, we'll go 3 days a week, but for now, you'll just hear from us 1 day a week in the off season. What we're going to do today is get a little lay of the land. It's not worth going through all the off season news. Chances are, if you play fantasy basketball, guess what? Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors. You probably didn't miss that news.
No.
So there's not really any point in catching up on all the news. What we're going to do today is get a lay of the land and do a round-by-round review of the 10-team fantasy basketball mock draft we did yesterday. Joe.
Yeah?
How did it feel to get back into it yesterday?
Not going to lie. It was kind of rough. I felt like it had been ages since basketball was on, even though, you know, basketball never stops.
Basketball season ended about 65 days ago.
Yeah.
And the season starts in 47.
Yeah, but the fantasy season, you know, that seems like a while ago. So,
oh yeah, that ended about 5 months ago.
Right.
We've got some time off.
So we had been full throttle fantasy football mock drafts, and to have basketball players all of a sudden in my face was definitely jarring. But I think it went well.
You did try to draft Spencer Ware in the 9th round as a handcuff.
Yeah.
Didn't work out for you.
No, I was scrambling at that point. But this was a points league head-to-head.
Yes.
So that is kind of, I feel like, what the CBS default one is.
Yeah, and it's just, in general, a little more straightforward of a fantasy scoring format. You don't have to worry about, well, if I take Russell Westbrook number one, I'm going to lose field goal percentage. It's just volume. That's all we care about in this. It's just straight who's going to get buckets, who's going to get boards, who's going to get dimes. That's all you care about. And so it's a much easier way to get in. And moving forward, we'll get your rotisserie rankings. We'll get your rotisserie mock drafts. We'll start next week. We'll be doing some divisional previews. We'll start with those once a week. I believe we'll be starting with the Northwest Division next week with our old friend Zach Harper.
Oh,
covers
Zach.
The Jazz.
Also haven't spoken to him since the last time we casted pod.
I mean, I actually haven't spoken with him in a while.
Does he still
since
exist?
He moved.
I mean, he's not very active on Twitter.
That's true. We haven't heard from Zach.
Don't know what he's up to.
So we're going to get into each division team by team moving forward. But for now, Joe, you want to just talk about the mock draft?
Yeah. So I will say that points leagues, I just absolutely go for assists and about nothing else, because assists count for two in this league.
Yep.
Turnovers, I think, are like minus one. Everything else is 1 point. So I pretty much just view, like, where can I keep getting cheap assists at every point in the draft? And that basically sums up my strategy. I'm taking 2 point guards right away.
And then that's, we'll just go through your team first. You had the 8th pick in our 10-team draft. You were right before me. And you stole from me a couple times, I have to admit. Specifically in the 3rd round when you took Gordon Hayward, that was disappointing. I was really looking for him because one thing that you're going to see this season, small forward is really, really, really bad.
Yep.
You know, once you get past really, I would say there's 5 small forwards worth drafting in the first 3 rounds. You've got LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Then there's a gap between those guys and the next two, which is Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. You can maybe talk yourself into Gordon Hayward in the 3rd round. Kawhi Leonard obviously is a 1st or 2nd round in Roto, but he's even questionable as a 3rd rounder in head-to-head.
Yeah.
After Gordon Hayward,
it's not a lot of passing, that's for sure.
It gets rough. Simmons was the we'll get to the round by round, but yeah, you got the last, I thought, really good small forward. So I think you have to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, feel great about, you know, the first 4 picks. Right after that, I got Draymond Green. I feel like a lot of people may be under, you know, valuing the volume that he's going to get. But in this league, he's still going to be probably the best passer in their lineup every now and
then. Yeah, I would guess he leads them in assists still.
Yeah, like if you just look at, you know, the Olympic team as an indication, like he didn't play at all, but every time he was in, he was looking to be floor general, which is bizarre at his position. But in this league, that's what you want, guys who our playmakers. So,
so we'll go by your team pick by pick, and then we'll go to mine, and then we'll look at the round by round. You went Chris Paul at number 8 overall, Kyrie Irving at number 13 overall. You know, Chris Paul does get a lot of assists. Kyrie Irving, are you expecting more playmaking from him this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's going to be what's next for him. LeBron's a guy who, you know, wants to encourage that kind of thing with his team. Like, that's the way he plays. Yeah. He's constantly looking for the open teammate. And, you know, if there's one thing this summer has taught us is that Kyrie Irving is a very divisive player, or like
for sure.
Very polarizing what you think of him. So, you know, he's an excellent ball handler, excellent scorer. This is the one area where people are kind of knocking him. I feel like the Cavs might use the regular season as a sort of trial run for Kyrie taking the keys of the offense. But yeah,
that's the interesting thing for me, is that LeBron over the last two off seasons has made noise about taking on a lesser role. You know, last off season in particular, 2 years ago, his first year with Cleveland, he takes almost 2 weeks off in the middle of December, talks about how he needs to get his body right, takes those 2 weeks off, comes down to Miami. I thought that was going to mean a backseat LeBron last season. Fewer shots, fewer assists, maybe fewer minutes, fewer games played. We didn't really get that, and I think part of that is that Kyrie Irving missed so much time. He missed about half the season. Wasn't himself until the playoffs, really. And so you could see a situation where Kyrie Irving does take a step forward.
Yeah, and I think he realizes it too. Like, okay, I'm pretty much good at everything. We just won a championship. I just made one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history. Like, you either think, all right, cool, I'll just try and do it again next year, or you'd continue to push it. And he's so young that I think, you know, he's going to really force the issue on assists. And obviously, he's a capable scorer, so he's going to make up for it in the points column, even when he doesn't get the assists.
Coming back to the third round, you got Gordon Hayward and Draymond Green, as we already said, 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think these could be two really big steals for you, but they're also really big risks. Marc Gasol, 5th round, 8th pick, so that makes him, what, the 48th pick overall?
Yeah, something like that.
That's really good value if Marc Gasol's healthy.
Right. I took him last year in a points league, and he was obviously disappointing, you know, not just to his fault, but yeah, if he's best passing center in the league, right? So, like, again, I'm going hard after assists. I think my strategy's pretty clear as you keep going down, and, you know, hopefully he pays off. I think the first four are solid enough to be insurance for that pick.
You look at the last 4 years for Marc Gasol. Ages 28 through 31, 15.7 points, 7.5 rebounds, 3.8 assists. It's really good for a center. That gets you right about at that 30 fantasy point per game mark with the double points for the assists. Problem is, he missed 23 games 3 years ago. 20 or 30 last season. Broke his foot last season.
Yeah.
That's a big risk for a big man.
He doesn't need his foot to pass, so as long as he's getting the... No, I'm just... I forget who else was going around this time. Maybe we can take a quick peek at that, because I just kind of took the lay of the land and thought, you know, I need a center, and he's got a lot of upside in the column that I want, which is assists.
The centers that went after him would be Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan. Those were the next two. Those are both very big rebounding number guys, but not sure they make up for it. You're probably going to get about the same amount of points as far as scoring from Dwight Howard as you would from Marc Gasol, right around 15 to 16 per game. But if Dwight's getting 11 rebounds and 1 assist per game, you probably give the edge to Marc Gasol.
Yeah, and I figured, you know, people would be passing. Like, I kind of was targeting Horford. He went way earlier, you know, because he's got a kind of new situation upside kind of thing. So
That was my pick, I believe, at the 24th overall.
Yeah. Yeah, you took him because I know
29th overall, yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. Like you said, high risk, high reward.
Let's run through the rest of your team. Brandon Knight, another high risk. I'm not 100% sure how
high risk,
reward
medium
is.
Reward.
I mean, look, last season, 19.6 points, 3.9 rebounds, 5.1 assists.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You know, he's not a point guard, but
he handles the ball.
He's a ball handling combo guard, and if he gets you... If he just replicates what he did last season and plays 75 games in the 6th round, that's a huge steal.
Yeah, and he plays shooting guard. So this is a league where you have to start position-specific point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. So I absolutely needed a 2, hadn't had one at that point. And shooting guard is a weird position where, like, you know, every player is very similar. So you see a guy that can get to five assists at that position, I'm gonna go for him. And I got a soft spot for him because he went to Pinecrest right down the road from the CBS office
here. That makes sense.
Hey, fantasy's about having fun. You know, get players you want to root for. And I watched this guy play in high school, and it was a lot of fun. So, you know, why not?
I would also say you actually went for four high-risk, high-reward players in a row. I think one of them is much riskier than the other, and that's Chris Dunn.
Yeah, this was by far probably my worst pick. And
not a starter.
No.
Doesn't have a clear role.
No.
Chris Dunn, the number three overall pick, or number four overall pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Or was he number five?
I don't know.
Number five overall pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Point guard out of Providence. He is the backup.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of rumblings of, you know, especially right around the draft, a lot of rumblings about him getting traded or Ricky Rubio getting traded. Rubio, there are concerns about how he will fit in new coach Tom Thibodeau's offense. It's possible this turns into a really good pick for you. He is certainly has an NBA-ready body, certainly has NBA athleticism, could be a really good, already, I think, defensively ready to play in the NBA. So it's just a question of if he can push Ricky Rubio for playing time.
Yeah, and basically sum up this pick. Every year in points leagues and these leagues, I reach for a rookie point guard. I reach for Emmanuel Mudiay. Mm-hmm. Last year it was mixed results. The year before, Elfrid Payton actually won the league thanks to the Elfrid Payton pick. So taking that kind of risk for high upside and assists again is, I think, worth it. Like, you know, he's not a court vision expert like Ricky Rubio, but the league and specifically his team is moving to a place where everybody does everything. And so a guy like Ricky Rubio, who's really only good at passing, kind of is falling out of favor. And I just feel like maybe they'll run with the young core and kind of let this team loose.
Number eight for you, Clint Capella, replacing Dwight Howard in Houston. He is one of my favorite breakout candidates, especially when you're playing in a head-to-head league where, you know, I believe he was 36% on free throws last year. That doesn't matter here. Mm-hmm. What matters is points, rebounds, blocks, and he should get a lot of those. Maybe not so much points, but it wouldn't surprise me if this guy averaged a double-double next season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Chris Kaman was like per 36 a double-double in the D'Antoni offense last time we saw.
That's probably
D'Antoni
true.
D'Antoni on the map. So the fact that Clint Capella's young, he can run.
Yep.
I mean, even last year you just saw in spurts he would just come in and grab eight rebounds in like 5 minutes, it feels like. So he's going to be doing basically all the dirty work for that team.
There's going to be a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
They're going to play at a very fast pace. And, you know, 12 and two blocks per game wouldn't shock me from him.
So you figure I pair him with Marc Gasol at center. I have the risky might get injured guy, and I have the young, you know, fresh legs, kind of the only guy at that position on his team, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know who else.
Nene is the backup center. So.
Yeah, so I mean,
Nene's not going to be able
only
to play.
Pair of working legs
yeah.
at the center position. So yeah, I like this one. A lot of upside there.
We'll run through the rest of your team. I won't talk quite so much about it because we want to get to the round.
Oh, no,
by
we got to break down my last pick. Come on.
No, there are some interesting picks. You went Danilo Gallinari in the 9th, Sergio Rodriguez in the 10th, has a chance to start at point guard for the 76ers. He's someone I don't mind taking a late-round flyer on. I think 10th round's probably a little early.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's just this league. In your in your roto draft, feel free to ignore this guy. But where assists are double, on a team that likes to run, on a team that needs some kind of veteran presence, like he's played a lot in Europe and he can run the point, so might as well take a flyer on him, get a piece of the Philly offense.
Andrew Bogut has a chance for a nice, I don't know if it's a bounce back season, breakout, I don't know how you classify it, but he's the big man in Dallas. He'll be next to Dirk Nowitzki. That should be a really good fit, and this is another big man that can get a lot of assists.
Yep. It's beating the dead horse here, but
and then finished it off with Dario Saric, upside play in the 12th round. Ty Lawson in the 13th round. That's an interesting one. Just signed with the Kings. You talk about high risk, high reward. He was an elite point guard 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is someone who, before the trade to Houston, his last year in Denver, I believe he averaged 16 or 17 points per game, almost 10 assists per game. Really can be a very efficient scorer, doesn't turn the ball over much. And the only other point guard on that roster is Darren Collison, and I guess, man, I can't even think of the name, Garrett Temple. is the only other point. There's not much there.
No, and, you know, he seems like a Kings guy to me for some reason. I don't know. I just feel like...
He certainly expected to be traded to the Kings last offseason.
Right.
Didn't end up coming... I believe his infamous Instagram post didn't end up coming to fruition, but yeah, he seems to want to be there.
Yeah.
It might be his last chance given his off-field or off-court issues.
I remember doing this podcast with you those 2 years ago or whatever, and he had pretty comparable stats to John Wall that year. So, you know, not that he's going to do anything close to that, but with the last pick in your draft,
absolutely
in a league that rewards assists, go for it.
All right, let's get to the round-by-round results. We'll talk about my team a little later. First round, you had Russell Westbrook go to Igor Melo. James Harden went to Michael Gallagher of Roto World. Jared Dubin, CBS Sports writer, took LeBron James at number 3. DeMarcus Cousins, number 4. Steph Curry, number 5. Kevin Durant, number 6.
Look at those Warriors.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, number 7. Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, and Damian Lillard to finish off the first round. There are a lot of things to talk about just in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we'll get to Roto later. I think James Harden should be the number one pick in Roto. I think Russell Westbrook is the obvious number one pick in head-to-head. I think there's a question about Roto. You could take Russell Westbrook number one. You could take Karl Anthony Towns number one if you really want to be bullish. You could still take Steph Curry number one in Roto. But in head-to-head, Russell Westbrook, last time we saw him play without Kevin Durant, the results were spectacular. He was 28 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 7 assists per game. He's going to challenge for a scoring title. He's going to be close to 10 assists per game. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, he's got infinite volume upside, and the only thing he's sacrificing is efficiency, which does not matter. So
does not matter in this league.
Totally agree. Number one with a bullet.
James Harden at number 2, playing in Mike D'Antoni's offense. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
He's not going to challenge Russell Westbrook, but never misses time.
Yeah, I think he's gotten up to 7 assists a game without D'Antoni, so who knows this year.
LeBron James, number 3, I think the first very interesting and somewhat controversial pick.
Yeah.
Not a bad pick by any stretch of the imagination.
Never bad pick.
But it's just LeBron James, are we at the point where he's just the safe pick?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it's like, I mean, maybe it's like taking Adrian Peterson in your, you know, he's one of the best ever. So you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, he's very safe. You're probably going to get 25 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists per game from him. He's probably going to play 72 to 75 games.
And you'll notice in the mock drafts, too, so the industry guys, you know, like Gallagher and the like, will sort of push the envelope with who they're going to get, try and, you know.
You try to get ahead of the curve a little
right.
bit.
Right, and the more traditional, you know, writers, bloggers who just cover the sport in general will kind of stick to the more... the safer picks. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I tend to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to the safer picks. And that's basically what LeBron James is. He's
the safe pick.
Right.
DeMarcus Cousins, if he plays 75 games, he's got a real chance to be a top 2 or 3 player in fantasy.
Yeah. And the other thing you look at is position scarcity. So, you know, LeBron plays small forward. Like we said, that kind of falls off a cliff at a certain point. You don't have to worry about that position.
Yeah. Small forward is a position. I think small forward and center are actually really interesting. Center doesn't have quite as much elite high-level talent, but there are probably 16 or 18 centers that I feel pretty good about in this format where you only have to start 12 or 10 in a 10-team league. Small forward, there are 6 or 7 that I really want, and then after that, it gets really dicey. So taking LeBron James early actually isn't a bad decision. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, I'm really conflicted. These guys are obviously awesome. They're obviously going to put up big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're obviously going to be...
a little bit lower on the...
I think they might disappoint, yeah. I think you look at the amount of usage that that team's going to have. You have a Warriors team with Steph Curry at the 1, Klay Thompson at the 2, Kevin Durant at the 3, Draymond Green at the 4. You take their usage rate from last season, it adds up to 108%. That's without including the fact that they're going to have to play with a center. Zaza Pachulia is still going to have a 10 to 15% usage rate, too. We're going to see a lot of reduced roles for these 4 guys, and I think they're going to be able to make it work. And they're also a team that plays really fast. They share the ball well. So they're not going to fall off a cliff like Kevin Love in Cleveland. But they might.
Yeah, and it's also the head-to-head format. You kind of want these, like, guys with a high, you know, they'll skew to to the upside.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys are going to skew more to the middle ground of their averages, I would think. Like, you know, any given night, Westbrook, those kind of guys. Even Lillard, who got picked last in the first round. Lillard's team needs him to do so much that in a head-to-head week, he could go off three times.
Yeah.
Whereas it's going to, I think it's just going to be less often that Steph Curry goes for 45.
There might be long, week-long stretches where Steph Curry doesn't play a fourth quarter minute.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't do that, you know, last year and still.
But the year before, he took some fourth quarters off. His minutes were down. I think we're probably going to see both of them around that 32-minute per game mark.
Yeah. The thing with the Warriors is I can't decide whether they are going to, like, you know, go full throttle in the regular season like they did last year, or, you know, teams that know they're good enough to win it all and have been, you know, down that road, they've won it, they've lost it in heartbreaking fashion, are they going to treat the regular season like it's, you know, the tune-up?
Yep.
And that's kind of bad for fantasy. Like, you want teams desperate to put up numbers.
And then, having said all that, I'm not sure I would take anybody else in this first round beyond them. You know, you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7, Chris Paul at 8, Anthony Davis at 9, Damian Lillard at 10. I guess Chris Paul or Anthony Davis could outscore them.
Yeah.
But there's risk there.
No, there definitely
Chris Paul's been healthy the last couple of years, but before that, it seemed like you had to factor in, I'm not going to get Chris Paul for about a 10-game stretch every season. He's getting into his 30s. Anthony Davis obviously has well-documented injury concerns. I believe he's never played more than 70 games in a season. And Damian Lillard, I think, is just awesome. That's a safe pick at number 10. Let's move on to the second round. And I love that turn for our NBA video producer, Joseph Levin, who will be joining us, I believe, for the Atlantic Division.
Is it Levin or Levin?
Levin?
I call him Levin.
Levin. Sure.
Levine? Levine?
There's no E at the end. I think it's definitely Levin.
I kind of like Levin. Sounds
Levin? Levin. Joey.
Joey.
Took Damian Lillard, took Karl Towns with the first pick of the second round. In your roto leagues, you're going to see Karl Towns going
much higher.
Top six, I would say. He's almost certainly not going to last past the first half dozen picks. And he's a guy that last season already, in the second half of the season especially, was getting right around 20 points, 10 rebounds, getting close to 3 or 4 assists per game, 2 blocks. I mean, there's a chance that he gets used like Joakim Noah in the Wolves offense, except also as their number one option as a scorer.
Right. Like
he could
around
be everything.
Around the top of the key, he's so skilled that he could fill a lot of holes for them.
He's where Anthony Davis was a couple years ago, except
he was
a lot better as a rookie than Anthony Davis
was. Yeah, I mean, it's Tim Duncan-esque when you see him coming into the league. Yeah. I mean, we're talking like Hall of Fame.
Except Tim Duncan was 22 or 23 when he came in the league.
Right.
Karl-Anthony Towns was 19.
Well, you know, his game is 22 or 23.
It should not be a shock if he goes in the first round in every league.
Right.
Moving forward in the second round, I took John Wall, number 2 in the second round. You took Kyrie Irving. Then we had Hassan Whiteside, Blake Griffin, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, Isaiah Thomas, Andre Drummond, and Kyle Lowry. What stands out to you there?
Whiteside. I mean, Kyle McCown is another industry guy, and he's going to try and push the envelope a little bit with his picks.
The thing with Hassan Whiteside, though, and this actually might be even more true in Roto, he could be a first-round talent in Roto.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, led the league in blocks by a massive margin last season, and splits are iffy, but he shot 75% at the free throw line in the second half of last season. If that's real, Hassan Whiteside could have a monster season. Actually, he already did have a monster season last season, especially after the All-Star break. He was 17 points, 13 rebounds, 3.5 blocks per game. He's never going to pass it. I might only end up with like 15 fewer assists than him in the NBA next season.
Right.
But with how good he is, it's entirely possible he could be one of the 2 or 3 best centers in fantasy next season.
And he got majorly paid, but I'll tell you what, I work in social media. That's like my main job for CBS, and this guy's very active on social, and I can like guarantee
the Snapchat game's very strong.
He cares about stats.
Yeah.
He absolutely 100% hunts for blocks, hunts for boards, cares about stats.
And you know what?
In fantasy, you gotta love that.
And the Heat could be a disaster this season. They could be really bad.
I think the Heat kind of were weighing that before they gave him the deal.
But. Well, no, what I'm saying is that he could have a lot of opportunities. This could be the number two option in the Heat offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be – it might be 1B. It might be him and Goran Dragic. There's nothing left there.
Well, for him, he's option
– well, sure. He's option 1A, 1B, yeah, 1C, 2A.
I don't know if he sees his teammates.
Sure.
He just sees people who can deliver him the ball.
I would say among the people picked in this second round, it's really interesting. You get probably that number 7 where Giannis Antetokounmpo went, and we kind of glossed over him. Talk about another breakout star from last year's second half. Averaged 17, 8 rebounds, 9 assists per game, something like that after the All-Star break. He was ridiculous. If that's sustainable, you're talking about a guy who could be a top 5 player.
Right.
But from Giannis, I would say down to number 15 at Paul George, you can make an argument for any of those guys in any order. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Karl Anthony Towns, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Hassan Whiteside, Blake Griffin, and Paul George. Maybe Whiteside sticks out there, the center eligibility or the center positional lack of depth, I guess, makes him an option. Everyone else there, I think, has the potential to really be like a 35 to 40 fantasy points per game scorer. Paul George, I think, could have a huge season. I think the addition of Jeff Teague to the Pacers really makes his life so much easier. Because Paul George, amazing shot maker, not a great shot creator.
No.
Takes a lot of really difficult shots. But that's because he has to create for himself so much. If Jeff T can lessen the burden on him, it really could. Paul George could challenge for a scoring title this season.
Yeah, definitely. And you hit it on the head. I mean, I think it boils down to dribbling too. Like, he's not a bad dribbler. He's got handles. He can move for how big he is. But
it's a tall dribble.
Right. Being the ball security guy, the playmaking guy, and the scoring guy is just a lot to ask for. But
him as the tip of the spear with Jeff T kind of running the offense a little more.
Yeah. And it'll make it easier for him to just pass out a double team smoother. Maybe the assists actually go up because of this, because he's not having to, you know, put the cape on every time on offense.
It's going to be really fun to watch. After that, Carmelo Anthony, Isaiah Thomas, Andre Drummond, Kyle Lowry. I mean, look, Andre Drummond, you know, was 15-13 last season, 15-14. He had a huge year. But he hasn't quite progressed as much as we hoped, especially on offense. The talk of him making that kind of Dwight Howard in year 3 jump hasn't happened yet. I don't know if he's going to get to that 20 points per game level.
No, it doesn't. You know, the game is moving away from that. Like, we've seen it happen to Dwight more gradually, and Drummond's arrived, you know, nearing his prime at a time when you just don't dump it into a guy in the post and let him be big. He's got to work for those points, basically.
And that team does have a lot of options as well. They've got Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tobias Harris, Stanley Johnson, Marcus Morris.
The one thing he did do is start the year getting 20 rebounds a game, going Dennis Rodman on people. So, I mean, if he can, where he's not scoring, he can definitely make up for it with effort. It's just, can that last?
Moving on to round 3, Nikola Vucevic, the first pick, fourth center off the board. That's really interesting. Kawhi Leonard, Paul Millsap is a steal at 23. Kemba Walker, I think, is a very good pick at 24. Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, D'Angelo Russell is a real reach. Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, LaMarcus Aldridge. I think Russell, obviously, the most interesting pick there. It was an up-and-down rookie season, and it wasn't necessarily his fault.
Like, no, he didn't quite have a chance to do what he does best.
It was a rough situation. Byron Scott, not a great coach. Byron Scott, difficult, let's say. Kobe Bryant,
Kobe played last year.
Not a great situation for a young player to learn. Yeah. I mean, look, maybe he learned from watching Kobe Bryant. Hopefully not with how Kobe Bryant played last year.
You know, dribbling, distributing, playmaking. Okay, well, here's 40-year-old Kobe.
Yeah, and Kobe Bryant was running most of the offense, and it was just a real bummer. D'Angelo Russell, though, his passing ability, his size at the as a combo guard, his ability to shoot off the dribble especially, I think him playing with the ball in his hands is actually going to be a real benefit, not only for his playmaking numbers, his assists, his scoring in general. I think he's going to shoot better with the ball in his hands. He is someone who's a little shaky as a spot-up shooter. Really good stroke, but footwork, his mechanics get a little wonky when he's shooting off the spot up.
Mm-hmm.
if he has the ball in his hands more, playing in Luke Walton's offense, it could really benefit him. It's a reach in the third round.
But again, assists, they're worth double. Yep. So if he's nearing 7 assists per game, like he's in a tier that, you know, is pretty elite in this league. So
round 4, and this is, we'll get to my team in a little while. I think this is where I started to go a little off the rails. I didn't love my team in this draft. I took C.J. McCollum with the number 2 pick of the fourth round.
I think you used all of your clock to make this pick, if I remember correctly.
I did, yes. I was very upset that you took Gordon Hayward. It really threw off my entire drafting strategy.
I'm glad I could do that to you.
So the fourth round went Victor Oladipo, C.J. McCollum, a couple of combo guards there, Draymond Green, Nikola Jokic, another really trendy, interesting breakout candidate, Dennis Schroeder, Reggie Jackson, Ben Simmons, Derek Favors, Eric Bledsoe, and Pau Gasol. You want to talk about assists coming from unlikely sources? This is the round where that happened. You got Draymond Green, mm-hmm. arguably the best passing power forward in the game. Nikola Jokic got a lot of publicity in the NBA fan or NBA nerd circles last season.
Oh yeah,
nerds average fan had no idea who he was. You know, I talked to my friends, and that, you know, we're talking about like, oh, Kristaps was amazing last year, and I'm like, Nikola Jokic was the second best rookie last season.
They're like, you made him up.
Yeah, they've never heard of him, but this dude after the All Star break was putting up like Marc Gasol numbers, basically.
Oh, you mean Yusuf Nurkic? That's what you mean, right?
I don't think the average fan knows Yusuf Nurkic either.
Oh, true.
Nikola Jokic, he was putting up 15 points, 10 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists on a pretty regular basis. He was really good in the second half of last season. And that was in limited minutes. If Mike Malone stretches him to 28, 30 minutes per game, there is big upside there. Not sure if it's 34 overall in a head-to-head league upside, but I like him as a player.
And I think in every fantasy sport, view mock drafts as, you know, especially guys who do them for a living.
It's a testing ground.
It's exactly. So this, you know, maybe if he's playing this one out, he does a little differently and doesn't take a risk in every round and like kind of reach for the guys that are up next. But mm-hmm. this is definitely one of those guys.
Ben Simmons, number 37 overall, your first rookie off the board.
Makes sense.
He's going to be the 76ers point guard.
Right.
You know, the fact that he can't shoot at the rim, at the free throw line.
A little trouble.
From the 3-point line. But less so in this format.
Mm-hmm.
In roto leagues, I think he could be a real drag on your field goal percentage and your free throw percentage. But in a head-to-head points league, if he averages 13 points, 6 assists per game.
Yeah, I mean, that's Draymond, at least in those two categories. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what you hope for there. He's going to be shooting the ball into his teammates' hands to score.
Pau Gasol, number 40 overall.
Immortal Pau.
36 years old, signed with the Spurs this offseason. You expect his role, his minutes, his shots to go down. But he was 16-11, 4 assists, 2 blocks per game last season.
Yeah, I did not think going to the Bulls would be good for him, and somehow in fantasy it was like
he stayed healthy, which is amazing. He's like the first person to ever go to the Bulls and stay healthy.
Yeah, the Spurs are known to play 12 guys and you know, play for June.
He's probably not going to average more than 30 minutes per game. But they did lose both Tim Duncan and Boban Marjanovic.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little shallower in the front court than they were last season. So there's a chance he gets to 30 minutes per game. Moving forward, round 5, Kevin Love, Mike Conley, Klay Thompson, Goran Dragic, Chris Middleton, Nicholas Batum, Kristaps Porzingis, Marc Gasol, Andrew Wiggins, and Elfrid Payton. This is another place, another round where I had plans. I had Danes, I think is the term. I wanted Chris Middleton or Nicholas Batum as my small forward or shooting guard. Both of them went right before I picked, and I took Andrew Wiggins. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, you're not a big Wiggins guy, are you?
I mean, look, he improved in the second half of last season. He really seemed like he was stagnating in the first half. His efficiency was not improving. That changed in the second half. I think the addition of Zach LaVine to the starting lineup, putting Rubio, LaVine, Wiggins, Jang, and Towns together, it helped him. It put a little more spacing, a little more creating on the floor. It made things easier for him. Jang and Towns are two big men who can shoot. Zach LaVine has emerged as a very good three-point shooter early in his career. It wouldn't shock me if he took another step forward. You know, maybe not as a scorer. Maybe he doesn't get much more than 20 points per game. But the assists haven't been there yet. If he can just improve a little bit, make one of those, like, DeMar DeRozan, Paul George mini leaps as a playmaker.
Right. Just get to three or four.
Yeah, get to three or four assists per game, and all of a sudden you're looking at a guy that looks like a real steal at 49.
Yeah, I mean, considering he's like younger than my little sister, you know, he's got plenty of time to figure it out. But you want him to do that this year.
Round six, Devin Booker, first pick of the round. I took Tyreke Evans at number 52 overall. We'll talk about him. Brandon Knight, Ricky Rubio, Darren Collison, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, Jeremy Lin, Chandler Parsons, and Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay falling to 60. That's a good value.
Yeah. He's solid.
Nobody wants him. He was the top player in everyone's queue for about 30 picks. But all he does every year is 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, there's nothing exciting about him, but he's a good player, especially for fantasy.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody's scheming for assists, so you can kind of use that in your favor in this league and go the other way and just take the volume points, guys.
Jeremy Lin, if you haven't been paying attention, signed with Brooklyn. He's got all kinds of crazy hairstyles, and he's going to be the starting point guard on a team that desperately needs someone to create. Brook Lopez is awesome. Jarrett Jack, we saw last season, averaged 13 points and 7 assists per game. Jeremy Lin's a better player than Jarrett Jack.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So I think he could be in line for a big season. Not a Linsanity season, but
no, never again.
Something like 17.6 assists per game wouldn't shock me from Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets are bad. So he's going back to, I mean, the Knicks were awful when he was Linsaning. So it's kind of the perfect situation for him.
Round seven, Dirk Nowitzki, first overall. Emmanuel Mudiay, it's another upside pick. Could get a lot of assists. He's the only real point guard on that roster. Jonas Valanciunas, Evan Fournier, Brandon Ingram, number two rookie, taken 65 overall. Rajon Rondo, Aaron Gordon, Chris Dunn, Jeff Teague, and Tobias Harris. Rajon Rondo is a really interesting pick at number 66. If he does what he did last season, he probably should have gone 40 picks earlier.
And he's the main reason why I took Chris Dunn, because I was like, well, I guess I'll do this because I really wanted him. And Scott White went ahead and snagged him in this league. Whatever you think about Rondo, the guy gets dimes, and that's what it's all about here.
He got Rondo 14 picks after I took Tyreke Evans. I would much rather have Rondo than Tyreke Evans, even at 52 overall. I should have taken Rondo there. Evans, I was just thinking, Jrue Holiday not going to be there for the start of the season, has a family emergency, really scary situation, just bad luck. But Tyreke Evans might not play at the start of the season either. He's still recovering from knee surgery. It's not clear if he's going to be ready for the start of the season. And
Chicago's just such a scary situation.
Well, that Rondo, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, that's not going to work.
I mean,
and that's why Dwayne Wade fell to the start of the eighth round, where I got him at 72 overall. That's another one. Dwayne Wade has the season he had last year. Massive steal at 72 overall. Averaged 20 points, 4.5 assists, 4.5 boards. He was awesome last year.
Yeah, you want guys in this league who you know are going to have the ball in their hands. And the Bulls are going to lead the league in dribbles, probably. So, you know,
and Rondo
Wade will be dribbling.
Rondo, Wade, and Butler are all guys who, shaky jumpers at best. They're all better when they're getting to the rim. Wade and Butler both like to post up. Both like to hang out on the lower block. It's going to take some time, and we'll see if the talent can win out. Eighth round, Joey went with Thaddeus Young. I took Dwayne Wade. You took Capella. Jabari Parker falls to 74th overall. I think that's good value. Brook Lopez at 75 overall is huge value. Julius Randle, Harrison Barnes, a couple of upside plays, George Hill, Miles Turner, and Monte Ellis.
Oh, Monte.
Monte, I would like the Pacers, just from a basketball perspective, just like as a fan, I would like the Pacers so much more if they just got rid of him.
Yeah,
and it just didn't play
him. And it's not even like we dislike Monte. Like, Monte's so much fun, but it's just like, what is he doing on that team?
Like, he can't shoot, takes the ball out of Jeff Teague or Paul George's hands. It bothers me. And he took a step backwards last year. He was right around 13.5 points, 6 assists per game. Lowest scoring total, I believe, since his second year in the league.
Yeah.
So, not getting better for Monte Ellis as he reaches the age of 30. I think Julius Randle at 76 overall, Harrison Barnes at 77 overall are really interesting ones. Julius Randle, I don't know how he fits in the... when we talk about the Luke Walton offense, we're really kind of projecting what Golden State did.
Which is really easy to replicate. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing is that, like,
you just go out there and you just do Golden State stuff.
Does the Luke Walton slash Steve Kerr offense exist, or is it just like you've got
more of the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson offense?
Yeah, so it's like you could kind of see a situation where, like, they paid big money for Timofey Mozgov for some reason, paid big money for Luol Deng. They drafted Brandon Ingram number one. There's your center. There's either your starting small forward and your starting power forward in Luol Deng, who really thrived in that role for Miami. Yes. And you think, if you're giving him $60 million, it's to do that after seeing how good he was at his age.
Right, not to go stand in the corner and shoot low percentage three-pointers.
So what does that mean for Julius Randle? Is Julius Randle going to be the starting power forward? Is he going to come off the bench?
He's honestly a very perplexing player to me just in general. So I just don't really know what he does in today's game.
But there's upside.
Yeah.
Great rebounder, really good ball handler and playmaker for his position. Could have a David Lee-like ceiling.
Yeah, and if, you know, they want him to... He could be a poor man's Draymond Green, I guess, if they gave him enough opportunity. Mm-hmm. But that's the big thing you wonder is, if is Luke Walton going to be okay with giving young guys tons of minutes because the last coach was not, and maybe it's a new day. I don't know.
Moving into the ninth round, Bradley Beal went first, followed by Rudy Gobert, Steven Adams, Serge Ibaka, Nerlens Noel, Darren Williams, Jordan Clarkson, Danilo Gallinari, Nikola Mirotic, Derrick Rose. So some bounce back candidates. Bradley Beal always has big upside, but just can't get past the injuries. Missed a ton of time last season again, and just another disappointing season. But big upside.
Yeah.
He's someone who could... You know, we saw Jimmy Butler go right around 25th overall. Jimmy Butler's coming off a season where he averaged about 22 points, 4 assists, 5 assists, 6 or 7 rebounds. Bradley Beal could do that. It wouldn't be crazy.
No, it's more about, you know, is he going to be asked to do a little bit more than just take long two-pointers and that kind of thing.
Serge Ibaka, big bounce-back opportunity in Orlando at the 84th pick. I think he could have a big season.
Yeah, Orlando's a weird situation too. Don't really know what to make of them.
That's been the case since they got rid of Dwight Howard. 10th round, Ryan Anderson, number 91 overall. That's another guy I wanted to take, so I settled for Enes Kanter at 92. Sergio Rodriguez, Justice Winslow, Joakim Noah, Jay Crowder, Markieff Morris, Rodney Hood, Zach LaVine, Zach Randolph. Who do you think is the best pick of that draft? The round. There's
my
some
pick,
interesting
no,
names.
I'm just kidding. Mine's very sentimental. Maybe LaVine?
Zach LaVine at 99 overall. Took a big step forward in the second half of last season. Was really kind of the...
Pseudo point guard.
Yeah, well, he was the third option as a scorer, but he was running some of the pick and rolls. He was kind of taking on the secondary ball handler. Doing a little bit of everything for the Wolves on offense.
Yeah, he kind of comes in, does a Jamal Crawford impression. Yeah. And he's... way younger.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets enough minutes, he'll scrap some assists together and, you know, at least try to score. So that's always encouraging this late.
Joakim Noah at 95th overall was Scott White's pick. I think that's specifically for his team, and I want to talk about his team now because I think he had the best team in the draft. Specifically for him, a very good pick because he had a lot of safe picks early on and mixed in a little bit of upside in the middle rounds. But once you get to that point in the draft, Joakim Noah is a really good value because he's coming off a couple of really bad seasons, but still had huge assist numbers last year. Still could be a good rebounder. If he gets back to the form we saw 3 years ago, it's a tremendous value at 95 now.
And say what you want about the triangle, but I mean, this will work for him. Like he's a traditional big man when it comes to doesn't want to move around a lot on offense.
Yeah, but
he's got good vision.
Great passer. There are options around him. Kristaps Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony spacing the floor. Courtney Lee's a good spot-up shooter. Has chemistry with Derrick Rose for whatever that's worth in New York.
Oh, yeah.
It could work out, and Scott White has put together a really nice team. This was my favorite team. First round, Kevin Durant, followed that up with Blake Griffin, DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan's someone who... really good for your head-to-head leagues. He's going to score a lot. He's become a better playmaker, a better passer, so he's going to get you about 4 assists per game. Dennis Schroeder, one of the better breakout candidates around, went in this draft, went one spot ahead of Reggie Jackson. I think it's kind of weird to take him ahead of Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, it's a bit of a homer pick. Scott's an Atlanta guy.
But. Well, yeah, I don't know how much that is, but it's just the permanent numbers for Dennis Schroeder. There has been the hints of superstardom, or at least stardom, over the last couple of years. They traded Jeff Teague, opened up full-time playing for him. I think he's going to break out. I think it's also unlikely he's better than Dennis Jackson or Reggie Jackson was last season. And so,
if we could turn him into Dennis Jackson, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Combined, get a little silver streak in his hair.
They still wouldn't have a jumper.
Nope. I will say what he maybe has that Jackson doesn't is he's got the kind of like chaotic assist stability where he's going to drive and throw out crazy passes back to three-point line, maybe lobs. Like.
And a really good team around him in Atlanta.
Right.
Dwight Howard running pick and rolls with him. Paul Millsap's great. Kyle Korver, one of the best spot-up shooters in the league. Kent Bazemore emerged as a good spot-up option last season. He's got an opportunity to really, I think, right about what Reggie Jackson did last season. 18-6, 18-7 is really possible for him. Followed that up with Nicholas Batum, Darren Collison, Rajon Rondo, Brooke Lopez, Darren Williams, and you look at that run right there. Rajon Rondo, Brooke Lopez, Darren Williams, three guys that nobody really ever gets excited about drafting, and three guys who, maybe less so Darren Williams, although he was productive last year in Dallas, but Rajon Rondo and Brooke Lopez have a very good chance to finish top 10 at their positions.
Yeah, and, you know, he, like you said, guys like him, Dwayne Wade, and there's certain players that just, they're not super exciting at this point, but if you kind of amass that and do it at a point where, you know, you have your starters lined up and everything, like you're kind of using everybody else going for the trendy guys against them, and you can really go against the grain and make some money in the later rounds.
Followed that up with Joakim Noah in the 10th round, as we said. Evan Turner, who signed with Portland. I'm not sure how that's going to work with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. It's going to be awkward. I don't think Evan Turner's any good at all.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He can.
It's not a bad pick. He's a good playmaker.
Right.
He'll get the opportunity. Maybe he's the primary playmaker for the second unit like he was in Boston. That worked out for him well. With the 11th round pick, it's fine. Marcus Morris, Marcin Gortat finished off the draft for him, and you know, we won't get into the reserve rounds. There are some interesting guys you can go with. Buddy Hield, Chris Bosh went 101 overall. That was actually Chris Bosh and Jrue Holiday in the 11th round. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, what do you do?
There's no right answer to it. It's not even like, you know, in football, you know, so-and-so player is going to miss first three, Josh Gordon, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is like, will they play?
Will they play at all?
And if they do, can I count on them for a weekly lineup lock? But at the same time, it's like,
Chris Bosh could be a top 25 player.
Yeah,
Jrue Holiday could be a top 25
player. Jrue Holiday, when healthy, is an extremely
productive
point guard. So, you know, it's just about every team is going to have their sure things and their risks. Yep. And at this point, if it's your turn to take a risk, go ahead and try and get a guy who's going to be, you know, who has been an all-star in Chris Bosh.
I wouldn't take Chris Bosh or Jrue Holiday as a starter, obviously, but once you get to the reserve rounds, I think it's fair game. The upside there is too much to pass up. You could say don't draft them at all.
No, I wouldn't, though, because a lot of these guys you're going to end up dropping. So, you know, might as well take Chris Bosh, and then, oh my gosh, he's cleared, and he's on some new drug, and he's going to play.
You basically got an extra third or fourth round pick.
Yeah, and even if, you know, the writing's on the wall that he's not going to make it through the season, like,
chances are you were going to drop whoever that was.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. Like, instead, you're picking up who.
So, let's talk about my team, and we'll finish off the podcast there. I took Anthony Davis in the first round, boom or bust. Could be a top five player. Last season, probably didn't finish in the top 40 because he missed so much time. But it says something about his ability that he averaged 24 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 2 assists. And we were like, man, Anthony Davis wasn't that good last year.
No. Well, he's going first overall.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that
we have high expectations for him.
But he still has that potential. You know, this offseason is kind of the offseason where we're just forgetting about Anthony Davis. Like, with the fact that he exists, we don't even know. We're just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Karl Towns is the new shiny thing.
Yep.
Anthony Davis could be better than Karl Towns this year, and it wouldn't be surprising.
No, it wouldn't be surprising if Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the league.
Yes.
It's just his team, his, you know, injuries.
If you want to make some money,
there's a lot of different.
If you want to get a dark horse long shot, Anthony Davis to win MVP probably has pretty good odds or pretty long odds. You could make some money on that.
I don't gamble, Chris, but if you're into that kind of thing, I suppose.
If you're ever going to Vegas, I followed that up with John Wall, Al Horford, CJ McCollum, Andrew Wiggins. So there's my starting lineup. My point guard, John Wall, at 12 overall. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I was between him and Chris Paul.
They're pretty similar. For fantasy purposes, especially in this format, I think they're pretty much the same guy. You're going to get right around 19 points, right around 10 assists.
Can you get to that 10 assists? Because that's like a that's a big number.
Al Horford, going to be the primary scorer in Boston, going to have a nice season, I think. Has had a little riskier than people think because he's missed significant time twice in the last 5 years, I believe, with a torn pectoral. So that's a bit of a concern. Also, already 30, that's a bit of a concern. But with my number three pick, I feel pretty good about him.
Yeah, and the team that he's on just kind of feel like just works toward his skill set. A lot of young, hungry guys, scrappy guys that aren't. He's not going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting. He's just going to be. I think he can get the assist numbers up there too.
We've seen him get close to four assists per game before. CJ McCollum, 20 points, 4 or 5 assists per game. I'll take that. Wiggins, upside play. Terry Gavin's upside play, but I don't feel good about it. I would have preferred him around later where I got Jeff Teague, who I think should have a good season in Indiana, but another guy with just not much upside.
Yeah.
You know, probably going to get 15, 16 points, 7 assists per game. Dwayne Wade, okay. Nikola Mirotic, been disappointing, but he has upside. Enes Kanter lasting into the 90s is really interesting because when they didn't have Kevin Durant 2 years ago after the Thunder traded for him, Kanter put up huge numbers. He was 17 points, 11 assists per game, or 11 rebounds per game. He was a legitimate number one big man.
Yeah, Westbrook seems to like him in the pick and roll.
Yeah. Well, he's skilled. Just say what you want about his defense.
Catch it and put in the basket, for sure.
Say what you want about his defense, and it would be fun to watch Enes Kanter scoring in this Kanter.
The thing is, too, like, they got a lot going on down there in the front court, don't they?
Yeah, they have Steven Adams, who I think everybody's expecting big things from this season, although his production has been pretty mediocre so far.
Mm-hmm.
Ersan Ilyasova could start at power forward for them. It wouldn't shock me after they traded Ibaka. Ersan can kind of replace Ibaka in the offense, at least.
Right.
As a spot-up shooter. They drafted Dante Sabonis. I probably wouldn't expect much from him as a rookie.
He's
drafted as a sophomore.
14 years old.
Very skilled big man. Could be fantasy relevant in a couple years. Probably not this year. But Kanter can play with Adams. You can use him as a four, stretch the floor a little bit. You can use him as your primary backup center. I think he's going to have a good year. Probably not 17-11, but 15-9.
Is Mitch McGarry going to play this year?
I believe Mitch McGarry got traded.
Oh, all right.
Or cut. Mitch McGarry is not there.
He's not.
He has an opportunity. Jrue Holiday, 11th round. I think the risk is worth it there. Jahlil Okafor lasted until the 110s. I think people are forgetting about him. I know we don't think he's very good, I guess. But what did he do as a rookie that would make me change my mind on him?
I don't know. It's just this league, you know, you need a certain kind of guy, and he does pretty much one thing.
Yeah, he's a really good post-up scorer, doesn't do much else.
Yeah, for the worst team.
Yeah, but, you know,
one of the worst.
If I get 16 points and 7 rebounds from him in the 12th round, perfectly fine with it. And Eric Gordon's another one.
And I just read on CBSSports.com that there's a report out that one of them might get traded. So.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports reported that they do expect to trade. They are expected to trade either Nerlens Noel or Jahlil Okafor. I think that's a sign of their confidence in Joel Embiid, which is a good sign because Joel Embiid did not get drafted in this league. No. Has a lot of upside.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he needs to be drafted in a 10-team, 13-round league, but someone that you can look at in the later rounds for sure. And then I finished off my draft with Eric Gordon playing in Houston. I think he's going to play a lot. They gave him a pretty sizable contract. I know he can't stay healthy. I know he's not the player he once was, but fits Mike D'Antoni's offense pretty well. He's a very good shooter. He's a capable ball handler as a secondary option. It wouldn't shock me if we see Houston closing games with Eric Gordon at the point guard spot. Or at the two with Patrick Beverley and James Harden next to him. It would not surprise me. I think he could have a nice season. So overall, I don't love my team. again, Davis, Wall, Horford, McCollum, Wiggins,
Evans. Wait till
Evans,
the people on Twitter see you took Dwayne Wade.
Though. Wiggins, Evan, Teague, Wade, who I apparently hate, Nikola Mirotic, Enes Kanter, Jrue Holiday, Julius Okafor, and Eric Gordon. It's not a great team. It's not the best team in the league. It's not the worst team in the league. But I can do better. And
that's what these are for.
Now that we're doing the fantasy basketball podcast more, I'm going to be talking about it more. It's going to be in my head more. I'm going to be working out my issues.
This was a knock the rust off podcast and mock draft because it's been full football for what, 3 months now?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, the whole summer. So we're trying, guys.
It's been nice to be back, though. It's nice to have basketball on the brain again, even if, you know, tonight I'll go to a bar and watch the Broncos and Panthers game or something. But
not me. I'm gonna be watching Enes Kanter tape.
That's true. You should. You need to bone up.
I just need to dive in.
You need to bone up on your Enes Kanter takes. That's going to do it for this, the very first episode.
With us. They're going to get better, guys.
First episode of the 2016-17 Fantasy Basketball Podcast season. Joe. We'll get back up to speed.
Yeah, this was like the preseason.
Get back in shape. Next week, we'll start with our division previews. We'll get some guests on. We're going to have some good guests in the off season. Some good stuff for you. So,
Michael Jordan's on the show next week.
Michael Jordan is not on the show next week. He's too busy.
He could be.
Somebody who worked for Michael Jordan will be on this podcast during this preseason.
Tantalizing.
Promise. So thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe at iTunes. Leave us a review. It helps us get noticed. It helps us
feel better about ourselves.
Feel better about ourselves, even if you don't have nice things to say. I just like to read it. Yeah. I just want feedback. So thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.